There's a kind of fatigue that sleep can't fix. You know it, that heavy, invisible tiredness that lingers even when you've rested, even when you've done everything right. It's not your body that's drained, it's your spirit. You wake up, scroll through noise, run through obligations, chase goals, and by noon, you're already exhausted. Not from doing too much, but from doing what doesn't feed your soul. The truth is, energy isn't just physical, it's moral, emotional, spiritual, and most people waste it fighting against life instead of flowing with it. The Stoics understood something the modern world has forgotten. Energy comes from alignment, not effort. You don't become vibrant by pushing harder. You become vibrant by removing what blocks your natural vitality. Because when your life moves in harmony with your principles, your purpose, and nature itself, energy doesn't have to be forced. It flows. That's where we begin. 1. Live in alignment with nature, not against it. If you want endless energy, stop fighting reality. Most of your exhaustion comes not from work, but from resistance. Resisting what is, resisting change, resisting truth. You can rest for hours, but if you spend the day battling the natural flow of life, your mind will feel like it's lifting weights that never end. The Stoics believed that nature isn't just the trees, the sky, or the wind. It's the entire order of existence. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Adapt yourself to the things among which your lot has been cast, and love sincerely the fellow creatures with whom destiny has ordained you to live." In other words, flow with the rhythm of life, not against it. When you live against nature, you wake up angry that it's raining, frustrated that people don't behave as you wish, impatient that things aren't happening fast enough. You burn your energy in emotional friction. But when you live in alignment with nature, accepting that things unfold as they must, you stop leaking energy through resistance. You conserve your power for what truly matters, your actions, your focus, your growth. Nature has its seasons, and so do you. There will be days for creation and days for stillness, days for building and days for reflection. You don't demand that winter become summer. You adapt. You rest. You trust that the next season will come when it's ready. The same applies to your goals, your relationships, your healing. Fighting time only drains you. Trusting it restores you. Epictetus taught that peace comes from focusing only on what's within your control, your thoughts, your choices, your attitude. The rest? Let it move as it will. The moment you stop trying to rearrange the universe, your energy stops bleeding into frustration. You reclaim your strength. Think about how nature conserves its energy. The river doesn't force its way uphill. The tree doesn't rush to grow. The sun doesn't rise early to prove its worth. And yet, everything gets done. That's what alignment looks like. Effortless progress through harmony, not tension. When you begin to live that way, your body feels lighter. Your mind feels clearer. You start waking up with purpose instead of pressure, because you're no longer spending your energy trying to control what was never yours to control. Living in alignment doesn't mean being passive. It means being intelligent with your effort. It means asking, "Is this worth my energy?" before reacting, arguing, or worrying. It means learning to flow around obstacles instead of breaking yourself against them. So, if you feel drained, stop adding more. Start removing what goes against your nature. Simplify your rhythm, follow your values. Let life breathe again through you. Because energy doesn't come from constant motion, it comes from inner coherence. And maybe that's the secret the Stoics were pointing to all along, that the most powerful person isn't the one who conquers the world, but the one who finally learns to stop fighting it. 2. Guard your energy like it's gold. Every morning you wake up with a certain amount of energy, not just physical strength, but emotional, mental, and spiritual fuel. What you do with it determines the quality of your day, and over time, the quality of your life. The problem is, most people spend their energy like loose change, giving it away carelessly to arguments, distractions, and things that don't matter. By the time they reach midday, they're drained not because life is hard, but because they've traded their vitality for noise. The Stoics would say, "Protect your inner fire." Marcus Aurelius called it the governing reason, the flame that must be kept alive at all costs. He wrote, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts," meaning that every person, situation, or idea you entertain leaves an imprint. If you allow negativity, gossip, or fear to enter freely, don't be surprised when your spirit feels heavy. You are not tired, you're leaking energy. Guarding your energy isn't selfish, it's sacred. You don't owe access to everyone. Not every message needs a reply. Not every opinion deserves a defense. Not every conflict is worth entering. You are not here to fight every battle, only the ones that serve your purpose. Epictetus taught, "You become what you give your attention to." So if your energy feels scattered, look not at what's missing. Look at what you're feeding. There's power in selective attention. Imagine your energy as gold coins. Each thought, each conversation, each worry costs you something. Would you hand out your gold to strangers in the street? Then why do we hand out our peace to meaningless things? Every time you argue over opinions, scroll mindlessly, or dwell on what's beyond your control, you're spending your treasure. And when you finally need it, for your dreams, your growth, your focus, you find yourself broke. Guarding your energy means living intentionally. It means learning to say no, not out of coldness, but out of clarity. You start to recognize the difference between what drains you and what nourishes you. Some people add oxygen to your fire, others smother it without even meaning to. Protect your space, not out of pride, but because your peace is your foundation. Seneca once wrote, "If you would be loved, love yourself." That begins with respecting your energy, respecting your limits, resting when you need to, speaking less when words will only tangle your mind, moving away from people who thrive on chaos. Not everything that demands your attention deserves it. The more you practice this, the more life begins to feel lighter. Not because the world changed, but because your focus did. Energy, when guarded, multiplies. The less you waste, the more you have. You begin to feel calmer, clearer, more creative. Your mornings become sacred, your conversations more meaningful. You stop running on fumes and start living from fullness. Because when you learn to protect your inner world, the outer one can no longer shake you. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily, "You have power over your mind, not outside events." Realize this, and you will find strength. That's your shield. Every time you refuse to engage in chaos, every time you redirect your attention toward peace, you're strengthening that shield. You're telling life, "My energy is not for sale." And maybe that's the secret to lasting vitality. Not doing more, but wasting less. Your energy is the currency of your existence. Spend it with intention. Guard it with wisdom. And invest it only where it grows you. Because the truth is, the world doesn't drain you. What you give your energy to does. And once you learn to protect that invisible gold inside you, you'll start to notice something incredible. Your days get longer, your mind gets quieter, and your spirit begins to shine again. 3. Wake up early and win the morning. There's something sacred about the early hours, that quiet window before the world starts demanding things from you, before messages, noise, and obligations flood in. It's in that stillness that you can meet yourself without interruption. The Stoics understood this deeply. Marcus Aurelius, the emperor of Rome, would write in his private journals before dawn, reminding himself, "When you arise in the morning, think of what a precious privilege it is to be alive, to breathe, to think, to enjoy, to love." Waking up early is not about productivity, it's about presence. It's not about checking boxes or chasing efficiency. It's about setting the tone for the kind of day and life you want to live. When you rise early, you reclaim your time before the world claims it for you. You begin your day by choosing calm over chaos, intention over reaction. And that single choice, to wake with the sun instead of your stress, changes everything. Most people wake up already behind. They reach for their phones before their thoughts. They let the world's noise set their emotional temperature. But when you wake early, before anyone expects anything from you, you get to decide what enters your mind first. Is it gratitude or anxiety? Clarity or clutter? That first hour determines which part of you will run the rest of the day, your higher self or your exhausted self. Seneca once wrote, "Begin at once to live and count each separate day as a separate life. Each morning is a chance to start over, to reset your mind, to remember what truly matters. You don't need a perfect routine, you just need presence." Maybe for you it's reading a few lines of philosophy. Maybe it's stretching, journaling, or simply sitting in silence with your coffee, watching the sky change color. What matters is that you create a ritual that reminds you, this day belongs to you. When you wake early, you meet life on your own terms. The air feels different, untouched, calm, almost ancient. The light is gentle, the streets are still, and for a brief moment, the world is yours alone. In that silence, your thoughts start to line up. Ideas come more clearly. Problems shrink to their real size. The worries that seemed overwhelming the night before lose their grip under the clarity of dawn. The Stoics taught that discipline is freedom, and waking early is a form of discipline that unlocks energy. It's not about suffering through less sleep. It's about trading the chaos of late-night distractions for the peace of early clarity. When you wake before the noise, you create space, and in that space, strength is born. Epictetus said, "How long are you going to wait before you demand the best for yourself? The best version of you doesn't appear by chance. It's summoned in moments like these, when the alarm rings and your mind says, just a little longer. But your soul whispers, now." Every time you choose the whisper over the excuse, you build momentum. And that momentum follows you through the day, into your work, your focus, your energy, your peace. The morning is your mirror. It reflects your relationship with yourself. If you start it rushed, scattered, or reactive, that energy multiplies. But if you start it slow, intentional, grateful, it multiplies too. You don't just win the morning, you win yourself. There will be days when you'll fail, when the bed feels heavy, when the motivation isn't there. That's fine. The point isn't perfection, it's return. Every time you choose to rise again, you strengthen your will. You remind your body who's in command, your higher mind, not your comfort. And over time, something changes. You begin to crave the morning stillness. You start sleeping earlier, not out of discipline, but out of desire, because you've learned that nothing compares to that first quiet hour where life hasn't yet demanded, and you get to decide who you'll be today. So wake up early, not to chase the world, but to meet yourself before it starts. Rise before the noise, and you'll rise above it, because the world belongs to those who greet the sun with open eyes and a steady heart. And maybe that's where true energy begins, not in caffeine or motivation, but in that silent decision at dawn to show up for your own life before anyone else does. 4. Detach from emotional chaos. You can't live with energy if your mind is a battlefield. It doesn't matter how healthy you eat or how early you wake. If your emotions rule you, they'll drain you faster than any sleepless night ever could. The greatest thief of human energy is not work, not stress, not even pain. It's emotional chaos. The constant overthinking, reacting, explaining, defending, proving. It's like leaving all your windows open in a storm and wondering why the house feels cold. The Stoics knew this better than anyone. They understood that emotional chaos is self-inflicted, not by what happens to us, but by how we interpret it. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events." Realize this, and you will find strength that one line could save years of wasted energy. Because once you learn to control your reaction, you regain control over your life. Most people live emotionally reactive lives. Someone criticizes them and their whole day collapses. A small inconvenience happens and they lose their calm. Every emotion becomes an earthquake. But emotional chaos isn't life's fault. It's the mind's inability to stay centered. The Stoics practiced detachment not to become cold or indifferent, but to stay free. Freedom, after all, means that nothing outside you can disturb the peace inside you unless you allow it. Think about it. Every time you get angry, anxious, or defensive, your energy leaks. You relive arguments in your head, replay mistakes, imagine future disasters. And while your body is still, your mind is sprinting miles every minute. That's why emotional discipline isn't about suppressing feelings. It's about observing them. It's saying, "I feel this, but I am not this." It's giving yourself a moment to breathe before the chaos decides for you. Epictetus taught, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters." That's not just philosophy. It's a survival strategy. Because once you master that pause between stimulus and response, you take back your power. In that space, you decide whether to stay calm or feed the fire. And calm, real calm, is pure energy. Detaching from emotional chaos doesn't mean ignoring life. It means refusing to drown in it. It means stepping back when everyone else is rushing forward, taking a breath when others explode, staying silent when words would only burn bridges. It's learning to observe your emotions like clouds passing, real but temporary. Seneca once wrote, "Anger, if not restrained, is frequently more hurtful to us than the injury that provokes it." He was right. Most of the time, the emotion hurts more than the event itself. The insult fades, the mistake passes, but the replaying of it, that's what exhausts you. Detachment is not weakness, it's conservation. It's keeping your strength for what truly matters instead of wasting it on storms that will pass anyway. When you start practicing this, you'll notice something subtle but powerful. The world will still be chaotic, but you won't be. People will still gossip, criticize, provoke, but your mind will remain calm, focused, alive. You'll start moving through the noise like a mountain through the wind, untouched, grounded, still. Detachment also gives you clarity, because emotions, when left unchecked, distort reality. They make you see things through the lens of fear, pride, or insecurity. But when you detach, you start seeing things as they are. Not better, not worse, just real. That clarity saves energy. You stop overanalyzing, overreacting, overcaring. You simply respond with reason and walk away with peace. It's a quiet kind of power, the power to choose calm when chaos begs for a reaction, the power to stay centered when life shakes you, the power to say, "This is not worth my peace." That's how Stoics lived. And that's how you build unshakable energy, by protecting your inner world from the storms of emotion, by remembering that peace is not found when life stops being difficult. It's found when you stop letting difficulty control you. So when the next wave of chaos comes, don't fight it. Step back, watch it, breathe, let it pass. Because the one who can stay calm in emotional turbulence doesn't just survive the storm, they rise above it. And maybe that's where true energy begins, in the silence between the noise, in the stillness between reactions, where your soul remembers, nothing outside you has the power to disturb the peace within. 5. Simplify your life to multiply your energy. Most people don't lack energy, they lack focus. They wake up already overwhelmed, their minds cluttered with obligations, possessions, and noise. They spend their days chasing a dozen small things that don't matter and wonder why they feel empty when the day ends. The truth is simple. Complexity drains you. Every extra commitment, every unnecessary worry, every meaningless possession pulls a piece of your energy away. You can't live with vitality if your life is overcrowded with what doesn't serve you. The Stoics lived with astonishing simplicity, not because they were against comfort, but because they understood that too much comfort weakens the spirit. Seneca wrote, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more that is poor." Simplicity wasn't about deprivation. It was about alignment. It was about removing the excess so that what remained was meaningful. When you simplify, you stop scattering your attention, you stop multitasking your life, you create space, and space is energy. Think of your mind as a room. The more clutter you pile in, the harder it is to move freely. But when you clear it, remove what's unnecessary, organize what matters, suddenly everything feels lighter, sharper, alive. Look around your life. How many things, people, and habits are taking up space without giving anything back? The Stoic way invites you to question, does this serve my peace? Does this help me grow? If not, it's noise. And the cost of that noise is your vitality. Epictetus said, "Wealth consists not in having great possessions, but in having few wants." That's not just about material things, it's about mental clutter too. How many desires exhaust you daily? The constant comparison, the need to prove yourself, the endless chase for more. Each one is a silent drain. But when you simplify, when you learn to want less, you gain a new kind of strength. You stop being pulled in 100 directions. Your energy, once divided, becomes concentrated, and concentrated energy is unstoppable. Simplicity also sharpens your purpose. When you remove distractions, what matters most becomes clear. You realize that life's richest experiences don't come from accumulation, but from presence, from being fully here, doing one thing with your whole heart. Whether it's a conversation, a walk, a project, or a moment of silence, the more you give yourself to the moment, the more energy it gives back. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily, "Ask yourself at every moment, is this necessary?" That one question can change your life. Before you say yes, before you buy, before you commit, ask if it truly adds value. Because every unnecessary yes is a withdrawal from your energy bank. Every time you simplify, a cleaner space, a smaller to-do list, a shorter digital feed, you make a deposit back into your peace. Simplicity is also protection. It keeps you close to what's real and far from what's trivial. The simpler your life becomes, the harder it is for others to manipulate you. You no longer crave approval, luxury, or noise to feel alive. You realize that aliveness was never in those things. It was in the quiet confidence of needing less. When you simplify, you don't lose, you gain. You gain clarity, focus, time, and strength. You stop mistaking busyness for importance and learn that peace is the highest form of productivity. You discover that doing less, but doing it with full attention, brings more results than spreading yourself thin across countless distractions. And the beauty of simplicity is that it scales. The more you practice it, the more you crave it. You begin to simplify your thoughts, your routines, your relationships. You start choosing fewer, better things, deeper connections over many shallow ones, meaningful work over constant hustle, silence over stimulation. And in that space, energy multiplies. Because simplicity doesn't just organize your life, it organizes your soul. It returns you to the natural rhythm the Stoics spoke of, where nothing is wasted and everything serves a purpose. So simplify. Let go of the clutter, both external and internal. Keep only what nourishes your peace and strengthens your purpose. Because the less you carry, the lighter you move. And maybe that's the hidden truth about energy. You don't need more of it, you just need fewer things draining it. 6. Fuel your body like a warrior, not a consumer. Your body is not an afterthought. It's the instrument through which your mind plays the music of your life. And yet, most people treat it like a machine they can run endlessly without maintenance, without reverence. They fill it with what's convenient, not what's nourishing. They treat food like distraction, not fuel. But if your mind is the flame, your body is the oil. And if the oil is polluted, even the brightest flame begins to dim. The Stoics understood that strength of character and clarity of thought are impossible without care for the body. They weren't obsessed with looks or luxury. They valued function, endurance, and balance. Epictetus taught, "The body must be treated with respect. It is the servant of the soul." A wise warrior doesn't waste their energy indulging every appetite. They feed their strength with discipline. Because what you put into your body and how you treat it becomes the foundation of your inner power. In the modern world, we've turned consumption into culture, food, entertainment, noise. It's all excess. We eat because we're bored. We scroll because we're numb. We overindulge because we're disconnected from what truly fuels us. But real energy doesn't come from indulgence. It comes from harmony. The Stoic way reminds you, you don't live to eat, you eat to live. Every bite, every habit, every choice is either strengthening your vessel or weakening it. Think of your body like a warrior's armor. If you neglect it, it rusts. If you polish it, it protects. If you fill it with junk, it becomes heavy and dull. But when you treat it with respect, with movement, rest, clean food, and intention, it becomes light, sharp, resilient. A clear mind needs a clean body. You can't expect mental clarity when your physical state is chaos. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. But the mind and body are allies, not opposites." A calm mind can't exist in a neglected body. The Stoics saw physical discipline as spiritual discipline. A strong, steady body reinforces a strong, steady mind. It teaches you restraint, endurance, and patience, the very virtues that define wisdom. Start seeing your meals as rituals, not rewards. Ask yourself before eating, "Does this feed my strength or my weakness?" The Stoic warrior doesn't eat to escape feeling. They eat to remain clear enough to face it. They rest not to avoid work, but to return sharper to it. They move their body not to impress, but to express respect for life. Every action becomes sacred when it's done with awareness. Seneca said, "We suffer more in imagination than in reality." But the modern body suffers more from neglect than from real hardship. We've made comfort our God and forgotten that vitality is built in challenge. Walk more, stretch more, drink water like it's medicine, breathe deeply, sweat often. These small acts reconnect you to your natural power, the power that comes not from consumption, but from control. The warrior's way is simple. Treat your body like the tool of purpose it is. Feed it with discipline, rest it with respect, and move it with gratitude. You'll begin to notice a quiet strength awakening, not flashy or loud, but stable, grounded, lasting. Because when you fuel your body like a warrior, you stop depending on stimulants, validation, or motivation. You generate energy from within. Your body becomes your ally, not your burden. Your mind becomes lighter, your emotions more balanced, your will sharper. And maybe that's the lesson the Stoics were whispering through the centuries, that caring for your body is an act of philosophy, not vanity. That every mindful bite, every disciplined action, is a small rebellion against chaos. Fuel your body like a warrior, not a consumer. Respect the vessel that carries your spirit, because energy isn't something you borrow. It's something you build, breath by breath, choice by choice. And when you live that way, you stop merely surviving in your body and start commanding it. 7. Master the art of rest. In a world that glorifies exhaustion, rest has become an act of quiet rebellion. We've been conditioned to equate busyness with worth, to measure our value by how much we produce, to feel guilty when we pause. But the truth, one that the Stoics understood long before the world began rushing, is that rest is not the absence of work. It's the renewal of strength. Without it, everything collapses. Marcus Aurelius, even as emperor, reminded himself, "If you seek tranquility, do less, or rather, do what's essential." He understood that life isn't a race, it's a rhythm. And just like nature, we too must follow that rhythm. Effort, pause, reflection, renewal. When you resist rest, you break the cycle, you drain your vitality, you stop growing and start surviving. Most people don't rest, they escape. They scroll, they binge, they numb. But escape isn't rest, it's delay. True rest doesn't come from distraction, it comes from presence. It's when your mind, body, and soul are all allowed to exhale. It's when you stop demanding from yourself and simply allow yourself to be. Epictetus said, "No great thing is created suddenly. Rest is part of creation." Every great thinker, artist, or warrior understood this. The archer doesn't keep the bow drawn forever. The string would break. The Stoics didn't see rest as laziness. They saw it as preparation. You rest not to stop, but to return stronger, calmer, more deliberate. The art of rest begins with permission, giving yourself the grace to slow down without guilt. To understand that you're not a machine meant to run endlessly. Even the mind, as powerful as it is, has limits. If you never pause to reflect, you mistake motion for meaning. You keep going, but you stop growing. Look around you. The world is filled with people running on empty, chasing purpose they're too tired to feel. They push, grind, and burn until their body forces them to stop. But the Stoic way is different. It's about mastery, not martyrdom. It's about knowing when to act and when to retreat, when to push and when to pause. Because rest, when chosen consciously, isn't weakness, it's wisdom. Seneca wrote, "The greatest obstacle to living is expectancy, which hangs upon tomorrow and loses today. When you truly rest, you return to today. You stop existing in the future or the past. You inhabit the moment, your breath, your heartbeat, the stillness around you. And in that stillness, energy is reborn. Rest doesn't have to mean doing nothing. It can mean walking without purpose, reading something that soothes your spirit, spending time in silence, or simply breathing deeply and feeling your body unwind. What matters is intention, resting to restore, not to escape. You see, rest is not a reward for working hard. It's the foundation that allows you to work with clarity and grace. When you rest well, your mind becomes sharper, your emotions steadier, your creativity stronger. You stop reacting impulsively and start responding intelligently. The Stoics practiced what we might call active stillness, moments where they withdrew from noise to reflect, to write, to realign. They knew that silence wasn't empty, it was full of answers. Rest works the same way. It's not passive. It's the hidden part of progress, the invisible work that restores your strength so that when the time comes to act, you act with precision. So, master the art of rest. Sleep when you need to. Disconnect when you must. Protect your peace as fiercely as your goals. Don't apologize for needing silence. Don't let the world shame you for slowing down. The oak tree grows in stillness. The ocean renews itself in calm. And the mind, too, finds its wisdom in pause. Because if you don't learn to rest, life will force you to. But if you rest wisely, life rewards you with clarity, power, and calm. Maybe that's the paradox the Stoics understood best, that stillness isn't the opposite of energy, it's its source. 8. Do something hard. Every day. Ease is a slow poison. It comforts you into weakness, lulls you into complacency, and convinces you that comfort is safety, when in truth, it's decay. The Stoics knew that if you avoid difficulty, you also avoid growth. Life, they believed, is a kind of training ground, and every hardship is a chance to build strength, clarity, and resilience. Epictetus, born a slave, later a teacher of wisdom, said it best. Difficulties show what men are. The moment you begin avoiding struggle, you stop discovering who you could become. Doing something hard every day isn't about punishment, it's about liberation. It's how you free yourself from fear, because the more you face discomfort intentionally, the less control discomfort has over you. Every day, the world offers you a choice: stay within the lines of ease or step into the edges of effort. One keeps you comfortable, the other keeps you alive. We've been told that the goal of life is to make things easier, to automate, to outsource, to escape the grind. But what if ease isn't the goal? What if meaning lives on the other side of difficulty? When you challenge yourself daily, mentally, physically, emotionally, you awaken something ancient within you, a kind of primal clarity. You remember what you're made of. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. That isn't just poetic, it's practical. Every hard thing you face, whether it's waking up early, saying no to temptation, having a difficult conversation, or staying calm when your emotions flare, is the path itself. Resistance is not your enemy, it's your teacher. Doing something hard every day builds your spiritual armor. It doesn't have to be grand. It just has to push you past what's comfortable. Take a cold shower. Sit in silence with your thoughts. Finish what you start. Speak truth, even when your voice shakes. Say no when it would be easier to please. Small acts of voluntary hardship teach you how to stand firm when life tests you involuntarily. The Stoics called this premeditatio malorum, the premeditation of adversity. They would imagine difficulties before they arrived, not to suffer twice, but to become unshakable when they did. They trained their minds to meet hardship, not with panic, but with poise. That's what happens when you deliberately do hard things. You stop being surprised by life's storms. You start moving through them with quiet strength. Seneca wrote, "We become wiser by adversity. Prosperity destroys our appreciation of the right. Every time you choose something hard, instead of the easier path, you sharpen your inner edge. You build endurance. You stop fearing pain because you've learned that pain refines, not ruins. Think of your energy as a muscle. If you never challenge it, it weakens. But the moment you stress it, just enough to grow, it expands. That's how energy works too. The more you use it deliberately, the more of it you have. Doing something hard daily conditions your body, your mind, your spirit to perform under pressure. You become more efficient, more disciplined, more alive. The hard things you choose make the inevitable hard things of life easier to bear. When you train in discomfort, chaos loses its power over you. You begin to feel calm even when others panic, grounded when others crumble. Because you've learned, through experience, that struggle isn't something to fear, it's something to use. There's an invisible pride that comes with doing the difficult thing, the pride of knowing that you didn't run away. It's not loud or boastful, it's quiet, steady, unshakable. It's the kind of pride that builds peace, not ego. So start today. Do one thing that challenges you, something that demands presence, effort, courage. It doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to be real. Because the more you train your mind and body to face difficulty willingly, the more power you gain over your own life. And maybe that's the paradox of energy, that it's not created by comfort, but by confrontation. You don't find strength by avoiding friction. You build it by walking straight through it. So, do something hard every day. It's not about pain. It's about awakening. About reminding yourself that within you lives a warrior built for resistance, not retreat. And every time you face what's hard and keep moving anyway, you prove to yourself that you are still alive. 9. Serve something greater than yourself. There's a kind of exhaustion that no amount of rest can heal, the fatigue that comes from living only for yourself. You can sleep well, eat well, and still wake up feeling hollow if your life serves nothing beyond your own comfort. The Stoics warned against this quiet emptiness, the slow decay of the soul that comes from self-centered living. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "What is not good for the hive is not good for the bee." In other words, the individual finds meaning only in the context of something larger, something that transcends ego. Modern life has convinced us that freedom means doing whatever we want, whenever we want. But that kind of freedom, without purpose, turns to chaos. True freedom is found in devotion, in dedicating your actions, your time, your strength to something that outlives you. It doesn't have to be grand or public. It just has to be sincere. You could serve your family, your craft, your community, or an ideal like truth or compassion. What matters is that your energy moves outward, that your existence becomes an offering, not a constant demand. Epictetus said, "Don't explain your philosophy, embody it." That's what service really is, philosophy in motion. It's not about speeches or theories, it's about action. It's about living in a way that makes the world, even slightly, better because you were here. The Stoic doesn't seek applause. He seeks alignment, to act with integrity, to contribute, to serve. When you serve something greater than yourself, your energy multiplies. The mind that thinks only of itself becomes a small room, airless, cramped, suffocating. But the mind that acts for others opens like a window. Suddenly, there's space, there's flow. Your struggles feel lighter because they serve a purpose beyond your comfort. Pain becomes meaningful because it fuels contribution. Seneca wrote, "Wherever there is a human being, there is an opportunity for kindness." Service doesn't always mean sacrifice. Sometimes it's as simple as choosing patience when others are angry, listening when others need to be heard, offering strength when others have none. The small, invisible acts of goodness are the ones that quietly repair the world. And here's the paradox. When you stop obsessing over yourself, life stops feeling so heavy. Your pain, your anxiety, your doubts begin to lose their grip because you've shifted your focus outward. Energy trapped in self-concern becomes energy freed through service. The Stoics didn't just preach resilience, they practiced responsibility, the kind that reminds you that your life, though yours to live, is also part of something vast and interconnected. Serving something greater doesn't mean losing yourself. It means expanding yourself. It means realizing that your strength, wisdom, and time are gifts meant to circulate. The river doesn't keep the water it gathers. It gives it away, and in doing so, stays alive. The same is true for you. When you contribute, you keep your spirit moving. You give your energy direction, and direction is what keeps it alive. Marcus Aurelius often reminded himself that he was born to work for the good of mankind. Imagine that, an emperor with unimaginable power, reminding himself daily that his purpose was service. That's Stoic humility. The recognition that greatness isn't about being above others, but being useful to them. The most energized people are not those chasing personal pleasure. They're the ones chasing purpose. When your efforts serve something meaningful, fatigue transforms into fulfillment. You still get tired, but it's a good kind of tired, the kind that comes from pouring yourself into what matters. So ask yourself, who or what am I serving? If the answer is only myself, then your energy will always feel unstable, because self-interest has no finish line. But if you anchor your energy in something larger, a cause, a principle, a love, you'll find a steady fire that never goes out. Serving something greater than yourself doesn't make you smaller. It makes you infinite. Because when you connect your actions to the good of others, you transcend the limits of your own story. And maybe that's where real energy comes from. Not from what you get, but from what you give. When your life becomes a vessel for something greater, the universe itself seems to flow through you. 10. Control your inner dialogue. If you want to master your energy, you must first master your mind and the conversation happening inside it. Because your thoughts are not just ideas, they are instructions. Every time you speak to yourself, your body listens, your emotions respond, and your spirit reacts. Most people live exhausted not because of the world around them, but because of the world within them. The voice in their head, that relentless critic, that whisper of fear, that constant reminder of what's wrong, drains more energy than any physical labor ever could. The Stoics called this internal voice the ruling faculty, the part of you that interprets the world. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "The soul becomes dyed with the color of its thoughts." Whatever colors your thoughts take on, calm or chaos, gratitude or resentment, strength or weakness, your entire being absorbs that shade. Control your thoughts, and you control your energy. Let them run wild, and they will pull you apart from within. Every person has two voices, one that uplifts and one that undermines. The first says, "You can handle this." The second says, "You're not enough." The Stoic practice was to strengthen the first and silence the second. Not by pretending, but by choosing. Because your inner dialogue is a habit, not a truth. The more you repeat certain thoughts, the more your mind learns to obey them. And the good news is, you can rewire that pattern anytime. Epictetus taught, "It's not things that disturb us, but our opinions about things." When you learn to question your thoughts, you stop being a prisoner of them. You start to see that the world isn't always against you. Sometimes, it's your own voice creating the storm. Controlling your inner dialogue doesn't mean silencing emotion. It means guiding it. It means responding to your fear with wisdom, to your anger with patience, to your doubt with discipline. Think about how you talk to yourself in moments of failure. Do you attack yourself or do you support yourself? When you fall short, do you say, "I'm useless," or do you say, "I'm learning"? The words you use in your mind are powerful tools. They can either wound or heal. They can either close your spirit or open it wider. Every time you choose compassion over cruelty towards yourself, you reclaim a bit of your energy. Seneca said, "We suffer more in imagination than in reality. Most of your stress doesn't come from what happens. It comes from what your mind says about what happens. The narrative, the exaggeration, the repetition. And when you let that cycle run unchecked, it becomes your default state. You begin to live in imagined disasters instead of real moments. But when you master your inner dialogue, you start to live differently. The same events happen, but you respond, not react. You choose clarity over chaos. Here's the truth. You can't control the voice that first appears, but you can control the one that answers it. That's where your power lies. The Stoic doesn't suppress their thoughts. They train them. When fear says, "You can't," they respond, "Let's try." When anger says, "Get even," they say, "Stay calm." When despair says, "It's hopeless," they whisper, "Endure." That's not denial, it's discipline. Controlling your inner dialogue also means choosing what to feed your mind. Every song, headline, conversation, or post is a seed. What you expose yourself to daily becomes the language your inner voice uses. If you constantly consume noise, your thoughts will echo that chaos. But if you feed your mind wisdom, silence, and gratitude, your inner dialogue becomes a friend, not a foe. The Stoics practice journaling for this reason, to separate truth from illusion, to clean their thoughts each day. Try it. Write down what your mind says to you and ask, "Is this true? Is this helpful?" You'll be surprised how often your thoughts are just echoes of old fears, not facts. When you control your inner dialogue, you stop wasting energy fighting imaginary enemies. You stop replaying what's gone wrong and start focusing on what you can do right now. Your mind becomes your ally instead of your saboteur. And with that shift, energy flows again. So, talk to yourself as you would to someone you love. Be firm, but kind. Be honest, but encouraging. Because the conversation you have within yourself shapes the life you live outside yourself. And maybe that's what the Stoics meant when they spoke of inner mastery, that real peace begins not when the world becomes quiet, but when your own mind does. 11. Practice presence, not speed. We live in an age that worships speed. Everything has to be faster. Success, results, recognition, healing. We've mistaken movement for meaning, and in the rush to do more, we've forgotten how to be. The irony is that the faster you move, the less of life you actually experience. You run through days like a blur, achieving, chasing, producing, yet feeling more disconnected than ever. The Stoics, living centuries ago without our technology or noise, already saw this danger. They warned against mistaking busyness for purpose. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "Nowhere you can go is more peaceful, more free of interruptions than your own soul." But how can you hear your soul when you're always running? Presence is not slowness, it's awareness. It's the art of giving your full attention to what's happening right now. When you're present, you're not just existing through moments, you're living them. You can feel the air when you breathe, the warmth of sunlight, the weight of your thoughts. The Stoics practiced presence not to escape life, but to fully inhabit it. To eat without distraction, to listen without judgment, to act with full consciousness. The world tells you that productivity equals worth. But the Stoics would argue that clarity equals worth, and clarity only exists in the present. Seneca wrote, "It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste much of it." We waste it by constantly thinking about what's next. Even when we're resting, we're planning. Even when we're with loved ones, our mind is elsewhere, scrolling, replaying, anticipating. We don't live in moments, we skim them. The cost of that habit is enormous. When your attention is divided, your energy fractures. You become restless, anxious, perpetually unsatisfied. You reach your goals, but they don't fill you, because you were never there to experience the journey. That's why presence isn't just a spiritual practice, it's an energetic one. The more you return your focus to now, the more energy you reclaim from the past and the future. Epictetus taught that happiness comes from wanting things to be as they are. That's presence. Not wishing the moment away, not rushing through it, but accepting it as the perfect material for your growth. Even discomfort becomes meaningful when you're fully present in it. Pain teaches, silence heals, work transforms, but only if you're truly there. Try this. The next time you eat, just eat. No phone, no rush, no multitasking. The next time someone speaks to you, listen, not to reply, but to understand. The next time you walk, notice the ground beneath your feet. These small moments retrain your brain to find energy and stillness, not speed. Speed often comes from fear, fear of missing out, fear of falling behind, fear of silence. But presence comes from trust, the quiet belief that you are where you need to be, doing what you need to do. The Stoics found immense power in this trust. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself daily that the present moment is enough. Confine yourself to the present. That line, simple as it is, carries the whole philosophy of peace. Presence slows time. When you're truly here, minutes expand. You stop rushing through life, and life stops rushing past you. You realize that joy isn't hiding in some future achievement. It's already here, in the sound of laughter, the taste of your coffee, the quiet breath before a challenge. And when you learn to live that way, consciously, attentively, deeply, your energy becomes stable, because you're no longer scattering it across a thousand mental tabs. You're focused, grounded, whole. Practicing presence doesn't mean you abandon ambition, it means you anchor it. You can still move fast, but from a place of awareness, not anxiety. You can still work hard, but without losing yourself in the rush. You act with intention, not impulse. So stop racing. Life isn't waiting at the finish line. It's happening right here, in this breath, this moment, this heartbeat. And maybe that's the truth the Stoics were trying to teach us, that presence is the highest form of energy, because when you are fully here, nothing else is needed. 12. Let go of what you can't control. There are few truths in life more liberating and more difficult than this one. Most of what happens is beyond your control. The weather, the economy, other people's opinions, outcomes, timing, all of it moves with a rhythm you cannot command. And yet, we fight it endlessly. We argue with reality as if our resistance could rewrite it. That battle, the invisible war between what is and what we wish it to be, is what drains the most energy from the human spirit. The Stoics called this truth the cornerstone of freedom. Epictetus taught, "Some things are in our control and some are not." He believed that wisdom begins when you finally make peace with that line. You stop trying to steer the wind and instead learn to adjust your sails. Because the truth is, you'll never run out of things you can't control, but you can always choose how to meet them. Most of our exhaustion comes not from doing too much, but from carrying what isn't ours. We try to fix people who don't want to change, replay the past, hoping it will end differently, predict futures that haven't happened yet. And, in doing so, we burn through our energy on illusions. Letting go doesn't mean you stop caring. It means you stop suffering over what you can't command. It means releasing the illusion of control, not the effort toward growth. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this, and you will find strength." He was an emperor surrounded by chaos, betrayal, and war. Yet his peace came from this principle. He couldn't control the storms around him, but he could control how he stood in the rain. Letting go is not resignation. It's participation with reality. It's saying, "I will do my best with what's mine and trust life with the rest." The Stoics didn't advocate passivity. They advocated precision. Focus only on what's within your circle of control, your thoughts, your choices, your responses. Everything else belongs to time, chance, and the will of others. When you finally respect that boundary, your mind stops leaking energy into futility. You stop arguing with what already is. Think about how much energy we waste on outcomes. We chase perfection, approval, certainty, all of which are temporary and unpredictable. You can't control how people see you, but you can control whether you stay true to yourself. You can't control how the world unfolds, but you can control the integrity with which you face it. That's the Stoics' power, not to dominate, but to endure. Seneca wrote, "What need is there to weep over parts of life? The whole of it calls for tears." He wasn't being cynical, he was being clear-eyed. Life will bring disappointment, loss, unfairness. But when you stop demanding that it be otherwise, you find peace even in imperfection. You stop clinging. You start flowing. Letting go is an act of courage. It's choosing to stop fighting the tide and instead learning to float. It's saying, "I trust myself to face whatever comes." That trust doesn't erase fear, but it transforms it into faith. You begin to live lighter, freer, calmer, not because everything goes your way, but because you no longer need it to. Every time you release something you can't control, a person, an expectation, a past regret, you free energy to use where it matters. You turn anxiety into focus, resentment into wisdom, fear into presence. Life doesn't suddenly become easier. You simply stop wasting your strength on the impossible. So, when the mind starts grasping, when you find yourself replaying, fixing, worrying, stop and ask, "Is this within my control?" If it is, act. If it isn't, let it go. And then feel the weight lift. That's freedom. Letting go isn't losing, it's reclaiming. Reclaiming your energy, your peace, your alignment with reality. Because control is an illusion, but composure is a choice. And maybe that's what the Stoics were teaching us all along, that serenity isn't found in controlling life, but in cooperating with it. When you stop resisting what you can't change, you begin to rise above it. So breathe, release, trust. The river of life doesn't need your hands to flow. It just needs you to stop fighting the current. 13. Stillness is the source of infinite energy. There's a kind of power that can't be seen, only felt, a strength that doesn't shout, but radiates. It's the quiet force that comes from stillness. The modern world doesn't understand it. We're told that energy comes from motion, from doing, from achieving. But the Stoics, and every wise soul who ever truly observed life, knew the opposite was also true. That stillness is not the absence of energy, but its wellspring. Marcus Aurelius, in the chaos of empire and war, would retreat into silence and write, "Nowhere you can go is more peaceful, more free of interruptions than your own soul." Imagine that, the most powerful man in the world finding his strength not in armies or influence, but in inner calm. That's what stillness is, the ability to stand unshaken while the world rushes around you. We live surrounded by noise, endless notifications, opinions, schedules, and stimuli that never stop pulling us outward. And the result? We feel exhausted before the day even begins. But what we call fatigue is often just fragmentation. Our attention scattered, our mind overfed but undernourished. Stillness gathers those scattered pieces and brings them home. It's the quiet moment that reconnects you to yourself. Epictetus taught that the disciplined mind is unshakable, and discipline begins in stillness. It's the pause before you speak, the breath before you react, the moment you stop chasing and simply observe. Stillness doesn't mean doing nothing. It means doing what's necessary with a calm spirit. It's moving without being moved. When you practice stillness, you learn that peace is not something you find. It's something you create. It's the ability to sit with discomfort without escaping it, to face chaos without absorbing it, to look at life clearly without distortion. Stillness clears the fog of emotion and brings truth into focus. That's why the Stoics sought it daily, because clarity is energy. Confusion drains you. Understanding refuels you. Seneca wrote, "To be everywhere is to be nowhere." That's the sickness of our time. Our bodies are in one place, our minds in a thousand. Stillness cures it. It gathers your mind back from the noise, from the imaginary battles, from the endless striving. And when that happens, something profound shifts. Your breath deepens, your thoughts slow down, and suddenly energy returns. Because stillness isn't emptiness, it's alignment. Think of the ocean. On the surface, the waves crash and roar, but deep beneath, there's complete calm. The Stoic mind lives in that depth. No matter how wild the surface of life becomes, your inner depths remain undisturbed. That's where infinite energy lives, not in the chaos above, but in the calm below. In that stillness, you remember what truly matters. The noise of the world loses its grip. Success stops feeling like a chase and starts feeling like a quiet unfolding. You stop reacting to everything and start responding only to what aligns with your peace. And from that calm, your energy becomes unstoppable, steady, purposeful, untouchable. Stillness doesn't require a monastery or mountain. It's available in every moment, in the breath before you reply, the walk without your phone, the few minutes you spend alone, just being aware of your own presence. These small moments are gateways to something vast, the infinite source within you that never runs dry. When you learn to return there, to that still, silent center, you realize you were never truly tired. You were just scattered, And as you collect yourself back into the present, you tap into something inexhaustible. Not excitement, not adrenaline, but pure life. So stop running for a moment. Sit, breathe, feel the weight of your body, the rhythm of your heart, the air filling your lungs. That's where real energy hides, in awareness, in stillness, in being here completely. Because in the end, all motion begins in stillness. Every great act, every word of wisdom, every spark of inspiration, it's all born in silence first. And maybe that's the ultimate Stoic lesson. The stronger you become, the calmer you remain. The calmer you remain, the more powerful you become. Stillness is not the end of energy. It's where energy is reborn, endlessly, quietly, infinitely. If you've come this far, you already know. Energy isn't something you chase. It's something you align with. The world keeps telling you to move faster, to do more, to achieve endlessly. But the Stoics whisper a different truth, that the most powerful energy is quiet, intentional, and deeply human. It's not about how much you can force, it's about how much you can flow. You've learned that energy begins where resistance ends. When you stop fighting nature and start living in harmony with it, everything moves smoother. You've learned to protect your energy like gold, to stop giving your light to people and problems that don't deserve it. You've learned to rise early, to win the morning before the world wakes, to detach from emotional chaos, and to simplify your life so that your energy multiplies. You've learned that your body isn't a burden, but a sacred tool, to be fueled like a warrior, not consumed like a machine. You've discovered that rest isn't laziness, it's mastery. That the hard things you do daily are what strengthen your spirit. You've learned that the greatest source of motivation doesn't come from ego, but from serving something greater than yourself. You've begun to realize that the most important conversation you'll ever have is with your own mind, the quiet dialogue that shapes your destiny. Presence over speed, surrender over control, stillness over chaos. These are not just Stoic ideas, they are instructions for peace. Because when you stop scattering your attention, your energy becomes pure, concentrated, unstoppable. You stop reacting to life and start participating in it consciously. And from that awareness comes a different kind of vitality, one that doesn't fade when things go wrong, because it's built on something deeper than mood or circumstance. Marcus Aurelius reminded himself every morning, "When you arise, think of what a privilege it is to be alive, to breathe, to think, to love." That's the essence of energy. Gratitude. Not the loud, performative kind, but the quiet recognition that life itself is a miracle. Every breath, every sunrise, every challenge, all of it is fuel if you choose to see it that way. The Stoic doesn't chase motivation. They cultivate harmony. They live in tune with what is, not what they wish it to be. They understand that real power is not in control, but in composure. And when you live like that, calm, present, grateful, energy never leaves you. It flows through you effortlessly, like a river returning to the sea. So, if you remember one thing from this journey, let it be this. Your energy isn't lost, it's scattered. Bring it home. Breathe slower. Think less. Feel more. Live intentionally. Protect what's sacred inside you. And maybe that's what the Stoics were teaching us all along, that the most energetic version of yourself is not the one who burns brighter, but the one who burns steadier. The one who walks through life aligned with truth, grounded in stillness, fueled by purpose. Because when your life moves in harmony with your soul, you don't just survive the world, you illuminate it.